the offering, and the pastor, there was a guest speaker, and the pastor was like, "Hey, that's a good offer. That looks like a good offering, but I think you can do better, so let's pass it around again." That's not why I brought this. I just have to say, I'm just really so excited to be here. I've never been to Fair Bluff. I grew up in Asheville, and there have been different speakers that came to Asheville from here, but I've never been up here myself. Down here, I guess, if you think in elevation. Over here, there we go. So just very happy to be here. I guess it started with an email maybe 8-9 months ago. I started thinking about things that the Lord has allowed me to do over the last few years. And some of the things that have changed through the years, just like many ministries, many assemblies, many different things, we're missing faces. So I started thinking about some of the places of responsibility the Lord has put me in as a board member, as a participant in a couple of ministries, that I thought, oh, well, I guess now I'm, instead of being the kid, now people are expecting me to be the one talking and doing. And, you know, it's sometimes, even when you get to be 50 years old, it's kind of startling. Oh, now it's, I'm supposed to, but anyway. So, but it's a part of, I guess the main, no, I'm not going to say the main, but one of the first things that I contacted Barry Brady by email, as well as a couple of other places. Barry and I would be somewhat contemporary in terms of being on staff at Mountaintop. I grew up going to Mountaintop, so I know that road up 52 North. And I was not at Mountaintop of the great event of the failed bus breaks. If you know Mountaintop history, you know, there was an exciting ride down the mountain one time during, I believe it was a teen camp, and Larry Batts was driving the bus and the brakes went out. So if you've been up and down that driveway at all, you just got excited that the angels do keep busy, and because they could have been, who knows? And I'm sure Larry has his knuckles probably aged many years in those few minutes. But yeah, so I was at Mountaintop before all the windows were in the lodge, and back in the days when the windows on the cabins were actually shutters and screens. So I share that heritage with some of y'all anyway. So I contacted Barry by email and just said, hey, if it's possible and the Lord leads, I'd love to share about a couple of things that are available to folks in the assemblies, well, anybody in the body of Christ. And I have to say, I have to echo the thanks for the 194 this morning. Like I say, I mean, I've grown up in an assembly since the summer before third grade. And so that black book, I've opened that thing many, 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 many times. I don't think I've ever seen that book, and I'm sure I've never seen the word Gyrdon, or however you pronounce it. So I'm with you. I looked it up too, because I had no idea. And I have to share just this thought that went through my head as we were talking about him being our reward, but also the reward in our place. What zipped through my head right there? You remember one of the things that Jesus said at the cross was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What went through my head at that moment as we were talking about that was, he could have said at that point, based on 2 Corinthians 5:21, he could have said, "Father, forgive me." Because even though he was perfect, never sinned, he was in my place, and I needed to be forgiven, and he stepped into my place. He's an amazing person, isn't he? And I hope that as you continue to gather on those Sunday mornings, that you never lose the wonder of what we have. So backing up just a little bit, who am I and what am I doing here? You've heard my name, Fred Forrester. I grew up in the Assembly in Asheville. I am a Christian school teacher. Well, I'm a Christian school teacher, but I'm also a teacher in a Christian school. Have been for, let's say a long time. And spent a lot of summers either at Mountaintop or other camps. And I'm married. I have 5 children. And have been wonderfully blessed to have grown up under the sound of God's Word and taught with the God's Word at the center. We had an international student live with us for a year, and he would come to church with us. Sometimes we would arrange so he could go to the Korean church nearby. That he was hearing his own language and worshiping with his people. I don't know, maybe that's dangerous to say that these days. But I asked him after he'd been with us for almost the whole year, and I said, "Young, when you come to church with us, what strikes you?" And he said, "Well, y'all use the Bible a lot." And that's an amen, right? I mean, if anybody thinks anything of us, that's an important thing. Well, you sure do use the Bible a lot. And that's a great thing. And that's our basis. That's our basis for everything we do, isn't it? So, to share with you a little bit about connections that we have, and one of those, as Glenn mentioned, is camp. One of my favorite stories, I love stories, and I think I'm okay in that because Jesus did almost all of his teaching in stories. He taught in, what's the fancy word? Parables, that's the good church word, right? He told stories. And when we look at the Bible, the Bible's a story. And let me just challenge you, if you haven't, read it that way. It begins, it's got a middle, it has an end. Read it like a story. Because there is a story that goes right through it, and that is God creating us and redeeming us and bringing us back to Him. What story could be better than that? But one of the stories is at the beginning of where Horton Haven came from. You know the story? And for you younger people, I'll talk about this again later, but one of the focuses for me in camp, in any kind of ministry, is to look and to challenge the kids. I see you guys back there, all right? That when you look at the stories in the Bible, it's not always adults. Kids did some great things. God used children to do things that the adults weren't willing to or were afraid to. Okay, take Samuel. I just was recently challenged by a speaker who put the beginning of the story of Samuel in terms that I had never thought of before. He grew up in a bad environment. Now, some of you guys are going through your hard drive going, "What? He served in the tabernacle, didn't he?" Uh-huh, he did. Under a father, a priest, who didn't apparently train his sons correctly and didn't stop them from growing up and being corrupt and causing people to despise the sacrifices of the Lord. Is that a terrible thing to say? That the priest's sons caused people to not want to go to worship. Wow. And here's this little boy, and you can get all the other details, but here's this little boy who had been committed to God by a mom who was just so overcome with her desire to talk to God, and her prayer was so intense and so passionate that she was misunderstood, But she gave him to God as she promised. And here's this little boy who, before he even knew the Lord, one of the verses says, heard God's voice in the night and was entrusted to give the adult who should have known God's voice and should have known God's will. This little boy had to give the message to the adult who wasn't doing his job. So I throw that to you guys who are younger than what would be considered adult and say, that to me is one of the exciting things about camp work. Horton Haven Christian Camp started with a little girl, I'm not sure how old, between 10 and 12, who went to a child evangelism backyard Bible club, got saved, her life changed. I don't know what you have to change when you're 10, 11, 12. I'm pretty sure she didn't have to get out of jail or anything like that. But her life changed so much because of coming to the Lord, giving her life to Him, that her parents saw her change. And instead of developing some land for their own wealth, which is why they bought it to start with, they decided, wait, we can't use this for us. We need to use it for God. And we want to develop a place where more kids can know the Lord, can learn the Lord, and then take that to their parents, and more parents can get to know the Lord. And that was back in the early 70s. And so how much, and I told the kids at Aletheia Springs this past week, I said, you know, and that directly affected me because I had a job. I met my wife there. Three of my three oldest children were born while we were there. So kids, you just don't know how much you can do when you let God use you. I think about the little boy with his lunch. The adult said, we can't feed these people. Send them away. And Jesus said, no, you feed them. Are you kidding? It would take more money than we got. And this little boy took how much lunch? Now, I don't know. Moms, where are you? How much lunch are you sending with a little boy? I had 5 loaves, 2 fishes. No, it's not a big old loaf, just little flatbread, you know, little fish sandwiches, I don't know. And the adults are saying, we don't have enough. And this little boy says, what I've got, you can have. And so, young people, what you've got, who do you feed? Minimum 5,000, probably more like 8 to 10. For some reason, in that day, that was the way they did. They counted the men. I'm thinking for every 2 men, let's say only half of them are married. And let's say only half of them have 2 kids. That's a lot of people that got fed. Because a child said, I don't have much, but what I've got you can have. So, don't wait for the adults. All right? So, Aletheia Springs, this is kind of part of the focus of the invitation. And apparently Steve and I have some connection there. I grew up from junior high going to Aletheia Springs back in the day when the main building, Tanner Hall, where we eat and where classes are, didn't even have a floor in it, and their wiring wasn't done. So if we had lights, it was a string that was connected to a car battery. If you wanted a shower, you got it when we went to the lake to go swimming. Now, a lot of times boys don't have trouble with that. I've been told, of course, it wasn't me, but there are boys who go to camp and come home with the soap bar still in the wrapper. Y'all have heard that story. It really, I can't tell you how I know that, but it really does happen. But Aletheia Springs has been around since this year is the 50th summer. If you know Aletheia Springs people, you know that you do not say Aletheia Springs and camp in the same sentence. Because it's not camp. It's a different focus. Okay, I love camp. You know that. Right? I love camp. But the focus of Aletheia Springs, it's Aletheia Springs Christian Education Center. It's for a more intense discipleship, getting deep into God's Word as young people so that then you can go out and affect those around you. In the beginning, back in the early 70s, as the vision was put on the heart of Gerald and Judy Stiles, there wasn't homeschooling. Anybody homeschooling here? You got a few? All right. Anybody going to Christian school? One. Oh, you are. You're a little old to be going. Oh, you mean your child. Okay. That was Elizabeth. I know the Curians because they used to come to Asheville. They had a little bit of an anchor there. So it's certainly good to see you all. In those days, there wasn't anything. There were no homeschoolers. And Christian schooling was really just starting to get going. So the focus of Aletheia Springs early on was training, equipping, encouraging Christian young people for public school. Now, those of you that pay attention to such things know that public schools have changed drastically, even in the last 10 years. My parents, the Lord led my parents to send me to a Christian school from fifth grade on. But I can tell you that at that point, just about as many of the kids there were there so that their parents send them there to reform them, to make them good, as much as it was for them to be grounded in God's Word. Things have changed. The options are greater. Homeschooling is really strong. The school I'm at now is a really interesting hybrid of classroom and homeschooling. It's a wonderful partnership between school and home, and I'm loving it. It's a relatively new thing. It's called University Model Schools, if you want to look that up. But in the beginning, the focus was for Christian young people who were most of us were in public schools. And so learning to appreciate God's Word, learning how to use it, learning how to defend it. That's still there. That is still a focus, but it's got a little bit different flavor because all of the kids that I had this past week were homeschool kids. And so there is an interesting challenge for kids that grow up in a Christian environment to stand out as a Christian in a Christian environment. And I can tell you in a Christian school, that's not always easy. I can tell you at Mountaintop Youth Camp, it's not necessarily easy. Because everybody's assumed to be coming from the same place and assumed to have the same heart for God. That's not automatically true. So that's the focus and purpose of Aletheia Springs. There is one more session. We've had one, what we call intermediate. That's kind of what you might think of as middle school age. We just had what they call pre-high. So I had 4th, 5th, 6th graders. And then in July, starting on the 9th, I believe it is, 9th through 15th, senior high and even college. So 10th grade up, or even 9th grade. You may know the name John Brower from Daniel, Virginia? How about Danville, Virginia? He's going to be one of the teachers. Mark Fitzgerald, who has been a part of Aletheia Springs from the beginning, is also going to be teaching. The focus, and I'm going to be talking about that, it's kind of like the center point of what I'm going to share at 11, is we called it Escape from Laodicea. Living as a Christian who affects their world in a world working overtime to affect us, and how easy it is to slide into that lukewarm rather than hot or cold. So we'll talk about that. That's kind of our theme for the summer, and thinking about who we are in our culture, in our world today, which is very different than it used to be. It's changing so fast. And there's so many choices in front of kids, including homeschoolers, that we have to really be alert to and really have to watch out for. And we have to teach them how to. So, Aletheia Springs, there is one more week available, so if you're free July 9 through 15 and you're 10th grade and up, or even 9th grade and up, there's still some space and it's still available. I'm going to leave these here. You can pick those up. There's one other thing I want to finish that with. 2 Timothy, Paul wrote, that he's writing to Timothy and encouraging him with his calling to be. The things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. As a teacher, I don't just want to teach ideas and facts. I want to find the people who then can do that with other people. And that's our job in the church as well. We don't need to know the Bible just so that we know the Bible. So that we can say, I can quote that verse. No. So that I understand what that verse means and I can share it with other people who then they can share it with other people. So that's also a big focus of Aletheia Springs. Aletheia, by the way, is the Greek word for truth. And the founding verse is from Proverbs, making sure of the words of truth. And so that's the focus. Now, there is one other thing, the reason that I brought this basket. I'm not going to go into this a whole lot, but I also wanted to plant another seed. This basket was handmade in Red Bays, North Andros, the Bahamas. It's the only place that's who makes them. That's the only place you can get it. So it's like probably the major way that they make money, other than sponge fishing. I mean, you've ever heard of going out diving for sponges? Well, they really actually do that. And you go by this place, and there's this huge tarp out in the front yard where they've been rinsing and drying the sponges. So I brought this to say there is also Andres Bible Camp, began 20 years ago. And I mention it because it's a ministry opportunity where we're often looking for more team members. What the program looks like Vacation Bible School. We go to four different communities and set up in a community area. It could be the school playground. It could be they have little community parks. And the kids come and we sing and we do Bible lessons and we snack and we play games and we just encourage the believers as we can. So and the first time I ever heard of it, well, it was the first year it ever happened. I was sitting out like you are. I was already involved in another summer ministry that particular week, and I was taking some graduate classes. So my summer was packed. And so I don't know if Craig Sutherland has ever been around here, if you guys know his name. I noticed you've got a missionary, a person from the Philippines that you support, pray for, whatever. He grew up in the Philippines. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you the whole story. His father-in-law owned property, had bought as a business investment thing way back, or in the early 70s. Interesting things that started in the beginning of the 70s. But at any rate, it has developed into this ministry. I'm sitting there in the pew thinking, wow, it's been a long time since I've been on any kind of summer missions. I wish I could go. Maybe you're sitting there going, oh, I wish there was something I could do. Now, here's the advantages of going to Andres. One of them is not all those pictures of resort areas that you just thought of, because that's not what it is. As a matter of fact, at our building, if we have electricity when the generator's running. Okay, we're not even connected. All right? It's hot. It's sticky. Now, there are some beautiful beaches. Most beautiful thing is the people. They are so wonderful. It's so exciting to me to land at that tiny little airport, get out of the little six-seater plane, and say, hey, Fred, welcome home. You know, I mean, that's the best. That's just amazing. That's the most beautiful part of it for me. But I was sitting there thinking, I wish I could go. Now, it's in terms of mission trips, it's pretty inexpensive. You don't have to learn another language, although you do have to tune your ears up. Island English sounds different, okay? Especially when they get going fast and get laughing and all that. But I just thought that maybe the Lord will say to you, you could do that. I would love for you to go, all right? So I'm going down July 22nd. So if that for a week, if that resonates with you at all, let me know later. And I'm actually going to leave this basket here for you to see and to pray for us. The ministry of Andres Bible Camp is adjusting a bit, as is Alethea Springs. Dr. Stiles, who really drove, was the kind of the driving force at the beginning. There have been many other partners. He is in very, I don't know if what late stages of dementia would say to you. He doesn't communicate well. He can't finish a sentence. He and I can't have a conversation. He doesn't even know me. On Wednesday, he had a fall and broke a hip. Please be praying. Mountaintop is wonderful. I love Mountaintop. I want to go back. And I'm hoping if I say that enough times, somebody will say, hey, Fred, you still do camp? And yeah. So I mean, it's not like there's any board members here or anything, right? But I love Mountaintop. I love Horton Hay. I love camp. But here's two more for you to pray for. Alethea Springs, Andres Bible Camp. And maybe the Lord would have you participate as a student, as a staff person, as a prayer warrior. We would appreciate that. Well, that thing back there says 10:29. I'm not usually that good at being that prompt, even though I'm a school teacher. Let's close in prayer. Would that be appropriate? And I guess everybody's dismissed to go hit the coffee pot, right? Thanks, God, for these wonderful believers that just the reminder that your world is much bigger than ours, and your fellowship and the fellowship that you've put us in is much larger than our own comprehension of it. Thank you so much that we have fellowship with you because of Jesus, who took our place, who in his own body on the tree took our sins, took the sting of death so that we don't have to fear death at all. We can actually look forward to it. And we certainly look forward to meeting you either in the air or before. Thank you for your goodness and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.